and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, our newborn King. Today is the celebration of the transfiguration of our Lord, the festival of Transfiguration Sunday, the great climax of the season of Epiphany, the season of light, the season of the star, the season of revelation, the season in which we come to see who this babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, really is. So why? Why this transfiguration of our Lord? Many times we tend to think of the transfiguration of Christ on the mountain more as something that God did for the disciples' benefit. And most certainly it was, to reveal to them the Christ in all of his heavenly glory, to show them the light that would lead them now through the dark coming valley as Jesus now sets his face to go to Jerusalem. It is God's promise to proclaim for their ears to hear, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." God did it. God did it so that they might see Jesus only, to see who he truly is. All these things they would need to know. They would need to remember in the coming days as they approach Jerusalem, as they dare to follow Jesus all the way to Golgotha, all the way to the cross. Yes, the transfiguration of Jesus, it was most certainly for the disciples. But I believe it was also for Jesus. What did all of this mean for him? Admittedly, I speculate, but there's lots to see in Scripture that would point to this. First of all, most certainly it was a spiritual pit stop. Often scriptures say that Jesus would take time, indeed, he would make the time every single day to join his heavenly Father in prayer, to be renewed in the heavenly Father's presence, to be renewed in the Spirit. And therefore, the heavenly Father, knowing the hard race that is set before his Son, flags him down, as it will, if it were, pulling him in for a pit stop, a time of refueling, a time of renewal, before that long, hard road of Jerusalem's hill to Calvary. Besides a spiritual pit stop, though, Jesus' experience is also a history lesson. Here God ties Jesus directly to the great salvation history of his people Israel, flanked by two of Israel's greatest saints, Moses, the great lawgiver, on one side, and Elijah, the great prophet, on the other. God is proclaiming Jesus. Jesus as the one to whom all human history now points. Jesus. He is the very center of all time. He is the very fulfillment of all human history. Jesus, he is the fulfillment of all the law. And he is the fulfillment of all the prophets, the one whose coming Moses and Elijah had foretold. The transfiguration, yes, a spiritual pit stop, and yes, the revelation of who this Jesus is, the center of all human history, and more. Here in the transfiguration of Jesus, there is a warning. And it's a warning to undertakers everywhere. It is the warning that the practice of their business is now drawing to an end. If you're a mortician, if you run a funeral home, in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to find a new job. Your job will not be needed. Just look at who God chooses to join Jesus, his son, in conversation as he is transfigured in all of his heavenly glory. There is Moses. Moses, who, according to tradition, God himself buried. And then there is Elijah the prophet. Elijah, the one who never died, but was taken up into heaven by a fiery chariot, and the prophet who God's word said would return at the time of the coming of the Messiah. And here he is. Certainly Jesus must have understood the signs. First of all, it tells us that Jesus is most certainly in a struggle with death. There's no doubt about that. But more importantly, it tells us the outcome of his struggle. Oh, it will be radically different. Flanked by Moses, whom God himself buried, and by Elijah, the one who never died, the Heavenly Father now declares who the one in the middle is. This one, he is more than Moses, the great lawgiver. He is more than Elijah, the great promised prophet. This one is my only begotten Son. Listen to him. Yes, Jesus' journey will bring him finally into a deadly conflict, even death on a cross. But in the light of this transfiguration, the Heavenly Father has already begun to reveal an even more glorious light. It is a foreshadowing, if you will, of the light of Easter morning's dawn. And certainly as Jesus needed times of struggling, not needed times of strengthening, and his times of struggle, as he needed times of strengthening, times of renewal for his journey, all the more certainly, so do we. We need those moments when we can be, I would say, like a sponge and just soak up all that God has for us, to sink deep into the embrace of our Lord Jesus' love, to sink deeply into that baptismal pool of God's grace overflowing, to be like sponges and just saturated, dripping with the joy of his love and promise and forgiveness, saturated, immersed completely in that miracle of his forgiveness, his grace overflowing. Here again, God's word of promise, given first to you in the waters of your baptism in Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Christ, in Jesus, you are forgiven. In Christ, God has claimed you, adopted you as his own beloved child. Even as he spoke, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," he has spoken the same word over you in your baptism. Yes, we all need these times apart just to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need those times of prayer and worship and adoration. And we need them not just once a week on Sunday. We need them daily in our lives. If Jesus needed them daily, oh, all the more, so do we need them daily. Times when we know that we have been in his glory, the glory of his presence, the glory of the only Son of the Father. This isn't just reading a daily devotional. This isn't just reading more of the Bible. It's so much more. For you see, it's not the quantity of the scripture that you get through. Instead, the question is how much of God's word gets actually into you. It is learning to slow down. It is learning to slow down so we can listen to the word, so that God could impart it to our hearts, to our souls, to the realities of what we are each facing in our different daily lives. For it is God's living word speaking to those realities. Oh, if Jesus needed his quiet time each day alone with his Father, then that's an awful good place for us to start. If we too want to follow him, if we too want to be his disciples, it is going back to Jesus' model for raising up disciples. Well, we live in a world that wants everything so fast, like a microwave. But making disciples, that's much more like a slow cooker. making time for being with Christ in his word. And in that time, listening to Jesus. And then making time with what we have received from him, then making time for one another. We can't be so busy about our agendas that we aren't open to being flexible with God's intent, his agenda for us. I shared this morning in the adult Sunday school class, there's a great discipleship billboard that has been put up just about two blocks from our church. I don't know if any of you have noticed it. It's compliments of the Next Corporation down in Lexington. Did I get the name right? Okay. And I believe it says, flexibility. Schedule it. That's a good note for each of us. Because as we spend time in God's word, and he speaks to our lives, and we say, God, what are you saying to me today in your word that you want me to take with me? And then as we take that out into our daily lives, if we're so much about our agenda and what we've got to get done here, here, and here, we can't then be flexible to how God might want to use us with someone that we might run into. Or we might find ourselves telling our spouse or our kids, I'm sorry, I just don't have time right now. But maybe that's exactly where God wants us. Schedule, flexibility. It's being open to the Spirit. Oh, Jesus came to save and change the world. But notice he spent his 3 years focusing on just 12 disciples, and of those 12, working specifically with just three of them, Peter and James and John. Jesus knew firsthand the joy and the strength that he found in his own daily quiet time with his own heavenly Father. So this is where we begin, sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus, being in his word. For God wants you to know again today that your heavenly Father, oh, he is just waiting to meet with you. He longs to bless you. He is longing to give to you the strength and the peace that you need for your daily journey, that to give to you that important history lesson for your life that shows and proves to you who you are, that you are the baptized, that you are God's own beloved child. You are a child of the Heavenly Father, a child of the King, and also to show you a glimpse of that great end, the glimpse of his glory, of that great and final day, of the joy of the heavenly kingdom. It is the promise that no matter how hard life struggles do become, no matter how great the loss, or deep the hurt, or severe the suffering, or great your sin, or long the night, overwhelming the darkness, this is Jesus' promise to you. I myself will bring you safely home. For we too have been to the mountain. We too have been to the mountain and we have seen his glory. We too have been to the mountain and we have seen the Savior. We too have been to the mountain and we have seen his holy light. We too have been to the mountain and we have heard God's own word of promise. Fear not, for I shall be with you even unto the close of the age. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the living one. Fear not, therefore, for behold, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Fear not, for I have the keys of death and Hades. Fear not, for I have saved you. Fear not, follow me, and I will bring you safely home. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, Oh Lord, in the midst of life's trials, give to us the embrace of your comforting, gracious, forgiving love. No matter what assails us, may we never lose heart. May we keep our eyes fixed on you. For you have proven your love for us through your arms once spread wide upon the cross. Hold us now. Hold us now to never let us go in those arms of love, that we might know and live in the miracle of your new life, the miracle of your peace, the power of your presence, and the healing of your forgiving love. Amen.